Welcome to the Bitcoin Consciousness Podcast. My name is Sam Gustafsson, and I'm here with Caleb. So the intention behind this episode is to talk about the upcoming course, the Multidimensional Bitcoiner, that will start on 15th of June. And I felt drawn to just talking with Caleb in some kind of conversational flow about this. But we don't know what will happen. So we will just tune into the flow together here. And so if you listen to these episodes before, we've been talking a lot about the signal versus the rational models. So in every episode, you're able to tune in. You tune in with yourself, and then you tune in with the signal of this conversation, and that's sort of the transmission. And then we also use words and concepts. So it's like two parallel channels. So you have what you feel is the signal coming out from this conversation, and you have the rational models. Isn't that right, Caleb?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So as we were discussing a little bit before, you know, I know that like when I listen to podcasts, a lot of the times it's either in the car or at the gym, usually when I'm doing something else, but not saying that you have to sit and meditate when you listen to the conversation, but it can be helpful to really set the intention. Take a few breaths of presence and use our conversation as an anchor point for some higher vibrations. So maybe use this opportunity to check in with the five physical senses and become very aware of your breath, as it will help to keep energy flowing in your space, wherever you are, and really experience the next amount of time with some higher awareness. Yeah, Sam, I think a great place to start would be to reintroduce yourself, because I'm sure listeners recognize your voice, but it has not on this podcast yet been introduced as Sam Gustafsson.
True. Yes, I've been going through transformations. As we, like every day, I shed more and more and more patterns. And I've been doing this for 25 years. So then everything is constantly changing. And so I had that identity as Samakatharo for some time, and it helped me to explore certain areas. It was like a vehicle for exploration and connection. But it was also some filters there, filters between myself and others, filters between myself and the world, where they were based in fears, like worried what people will think about me, because I've had so many extreme experiences that in other dimensions and in physical reality, that many people get sort of scared and defensive. And then the alias of Samakatara helped me to just be open with everything. So I learned to just speak in flow without filters under that name. But then to do it then with my real name, I mean my physical body, and to be on video or go to conferences, it's it was scary before. But now I'm ready. So I just let go of those fears and can now be more embodied. That's what's been happening to me. And it's very interesting to think about what identities are. Because someone like myself, my natural state is basically being a node in the decentralized network. So when I'm just alone, I just feel the connection with everything. And then everything is a node. And I feel like the connection between myself, like my node and their node. And that's groups, individuals, animals, anything. So the external reality, it's more like a simulation, really. So the real reality is the connection between the nodes on the decentralized network. And then we just see sort of like a dream, like a physical dream, we see how those connections play out between each other.
I think people might be interested to learn more about the node of Samakatharo, if you're feeling good about sharing that.
Yeah. So Samakatharo is like one of my nodes, I would say. So how I experience these nodes in the decentralized network of creation is that they make, they're like architects, and they make alliances, they make like contracts. So if you imagine like nodes, and then it's just like signals between them. And then how Samakatharo, he came to be, like I would say like my soul sort of birthed that node as sort of an identity node. And then how he, in the blueprint level, then connected with what you could say as, because you have these nodes that are completely locked in the matrix. They are completely in centralized structures. So you have these centralized areas of the decentralized network, and then you have the decentralized areas of the decentralized network. So you have sort of clusters of nodes, and some are like bunched together, like leaders and followers, and others are more free-flowing. And this Samakatharo node then approached a bunch of nodes, sort of freelancer nodes, still connected to the matrix structures, but really like in the outskirts. And from my experience in blueprint level, that was sort of his existence, where he connected to the node, those nodes created alliances. And the mission was sort of how can we be decentralized? How can we be a group and be decentralized at the same time. So he found, he tried to find those nodes that could be willing and able to help with that mission. And in linear time, then this just showed up in physical reality as various courses, meditation courses, men's groups, podcasts, articles. So that's sort of the physical echo of what I would say is the original node-to-node connection, which is where I spend a lot of time, just connecting node-to-node with networks and individual nodes. Yeah. And then that was over. Yeah, that was sort of, it was like a rise and fall of that. It was a creation that was then concluded in the end. And I felt that Samakatara node to return to source, or to me then, it's merged into the field.
Yeah, so the way that I've been experiencing identities in my three-dimensional reality is throughout my day-to-day. With my kids especially, I will have moments where I go through some dark stuff. So I get triggered and I get really angry, or I get distracted and I feel like I'm not present, I'm not being authentic, and it almost feels as though I can feel how kind of nonsensical, or I can feel how serious I'm taking reality. And that's actually kind of a theme for a lot of sessions that I go through, a lot of podcast conversations. It's really that it seems like we take life way too seriously. This reality is an adventure. It's a playground. And when we take it so seriously, I think that's when we experience so much of the pain, because we put so much pressure and so much weight on beliefs that aren't 100% true. And this is what I feel with my kids, is I have these patterns of, I would say, disrespect. Like, I'm feeling disrespect from my kids, which in the realm of truth, which is unconditional love, disrespect, while it may exist, I am an unconditional being. And so if somebody's going to disrespect me, quote unquote, I don't have to give them that power, right? I don't have to give in to the identity of a father who loses his power because his child acts a certain way towards him. So it's not truth, right? These patterns. But when I experience them, I fall into these patterns where I will do things which are not nice. I'll yell, you know, I'll send my kid to his room. I'll say things which are just not nice. And I can see myself, I can experience myself doing these things and knowing while I'm doing them that they're not an ideal way. They're not a very present way, but it's like I'm observing some other aspect of myself carrying them out, and I can't help it but observe it. So it's kind of like, because I'm observing it, it's like the last time that I'll do it, because I'm aware of it as I do it. And I see it as some kind of ancestral pattern, you know, some father somewhere back in my lineage is coming through, and he's coming through me, and we are experiencing that identity together. as maybe a centralized group of nodes. We're letting that go through us, and then I'm able to turn around almost instantaneously. And I get a little bit nervous when I do this because I hope it's not confusing to my children, but I turn around and within sometimes even seconds, I can turn around and I can say, hey, the way that I just handled that was not okay. I was feeling things which were very strong, very powerful, and I treated you in a way which was not how I wanted to treat you, not how I feel good about, not how I feel is okay. And so, yeah, I'll use that as an opportunity to kind of humble myself in front of them and to immediately move from an identity, which we both know is not me, and move back into authenticity and vulnerability.
Yeah. This reminds me of the centralized identity networks that I've been dealing with. So as a soul, we are surfing around on this decentralized network, and we are sort of just, we have some intention, we have creativity, and we feel like doing things. So we're talking now blueprint level. Then these nodes can come into these clusters where you have nodes that are playing with lower densities. So you have these nodes playing with lower densities where they are playing with the experience of shame, guilt, anger, fear, things like this. And then if we are a curious soul, we might want to check that out. So if the original state is that we are decentralized and there are huge, vast areas of just decentralized nodes where you can just operate freely and it's just like in resonance, like everyone around you is just respecting your space and you feel connected but sovereign. And that's really a nice place, and that's what we would like to see on Earth at some point. But the Earth grid right now is sort of in these lower density states. And to then enter the Earth. So again, imagine yourself just a free, beautiful, shining node, shining in a decentralized space where you're just one with everything. And then you see this planet where it's just like darkness, lower densities. And some of these nodes then feel inspiration to sort of help that planet to raise the consciousness again. It's almost like the planet or the people are sort of screaming for help, and then some souls feel drawn to helping with this. And to do that, it's quite some power structures on the planet in these lower densities. So to come down to the Earth, you need to deal with these nodes on the blueprint level. You need to make contracts to enter the space. And you need to buy identities that you will play out on the planet. So it's like, at this point, it's not really possible to come to the planet as a as a decentralized sovereign soul, you need to go through the matrix structures. But I can tell you that we are working on guiding several families on the planet right now, where it will be possible to incarnate within a few years. You can incarnate without these low density contracts. But at this time, as far as I know, you need to forget who you are when you enter the planet. And you need to buy these identities. So you could say that they have these gatekeepers. I call them centralized identity networks. It's basically, you can say, like shops, or is these nodes that are working with this. And then you say to them, yeah, I need to have an identity. I want to come to this planet. I want to do some stuff. And then they just give you options. You can have these. You can have this identity, you can have this identity. And then with each identity, you have connections with other identities. And some people are just playing that game, but for other people that come to raise the vibration of the planet, we sort of are looking for the contracts that help us to liberate ourselves and others. Basically, the background here is that when you start having like more near-death experiences, things like this, then you are in a physical body, but you have direct access to your soul. And then you are decentralized again. So you're a sovereign, decentralized human being on Earth. And then you can help others to become decentralized and so on. So I'm sort of painting the picture here of how the soul's journey is happening when it gets the inspiration to come to a very dense environment like planet Earth. Does that make sense, Caleb?
Yeah, there's some really cool models. And what I'm curious about is then these gatekeepers, Do they work hard to fight back against this vibrational work, or are they at such a level that they more so just kind of go with the flow?
Yeah, so it was an interesting experience when I encountered this being. And I started reclaiming my identities. And I was like, I don't want this identity. I don't want this identity. Going through every identity and saying, I refuse to play this out anymore. Then I approached them sort of as enemies, like, oh, you're dark beings that you're forcing us. You're holding this prison of identities. But as I got to one point where they realized that I don't need any of their identities, everything changed. It's like as long as we think we need the centralized identities, then we are codependent with them. And we're sort of stuck in that relationship. And that's one level of consciousness. But when we say, oh, I don't need any of these identities anymore, then we become equals. Like, I don't need their identities. And then they don't have power over me. And then we actually became friends. So, sounds a bit strange now, but it made sense to me at that time. It's like you have to deal with them to get here, and then you're stuck in this sort of codependency as long as you feel that you need to have those identities. So that's like careers, that's like status, and relationships, attachments, basically. So you're basically coming down to earth and you get all these attachments. And as long as you need those attachments, you're codependent with inside the matrix. And then when you just say that you don't need this, then you are just free. And then they don't hurt you. Then they don't force you to have these things. It's like it's just they provide a service. And then when you don't need that service anymore, they just let you go. And you start operating outside the matrix. And then we have these decentralized identities. So this is what I've been exploring. Because who are we then if we are not the centralized identities? Like, we're still somebody. But the difference here is that when we have the decentralized ones, they are like repeating over and over. It's like contracts, and they are just repeating. So, like, you know, you go and like people that say the same story several times to different people. It's like, so what we need to get used to when we let go of all the centralized identities is we need to get used to always being fluid. And you never repeat, and you're constantly just flowing in the moment and just talking in flow. And so we are then tapped into what I would call a decentralized identity networks, which is sort of different groups of nodes, different constellations of nodes. So this is your alliances on soul level or blueprint level. And since it is decentralized, you're sovereign, but you're still together. And then these kind of identities are flowing and transforming all the time, and you're sharing them with your friends. So it's like, oh, you have this idea now, and then it's sort of transformed, and this idea goes into another. And it's a different way of life outside the matrix in terms of identities. It's not the same life experience anymore.
I'm not really sure how this fits, but I'm excited to talk about it. So, you know, before we're born, we have all of these pre-birth contracts and things we want to experience as a node. We have these gatekeepers, you know, all these things we do before we're born, and then I think you can almost see these gatekeepers as holding some kind of collective field for what is the human experience. So the incredible sequences of human DNA and what our bodies are able to accomplish and experience in this reality, from the physical organs, your lungs, your spleen, your heart, and, you know, how they all work together physically. But then also our multidimensional aspects, things like our energy bodies and our Merkabas, and, you know, the amazing abilities to like bio relocate, all of these, like the lost knowledge that our bodies are capable of. And I think that they're being held by some kind of super high vibrational collective consciousness. And so what happens when you're born is, you know, your mother, she channels these collective fields of the perfection that is the human body. And this is oftentimes why the majority of the time human beings are born so perfect. You know, as children, you know, we're so healthy and so pure, I guess, you know, so innocent, so flowing. It's because these fields are just so powerful. And then over time, you know, we begin to, it's like first our body, you know, that's the very first part of our physical reality and it manifests so purely. But then over time, we begin manifesting the physical reality, which is handed, that blueprint is handed to us from our parents. So our parents and our ancestors and the world that, that they've also kind of created. So yeah, we kind of inherit these identities from our parents, and but then eventually over time we begin to move into opportunities where we can let go of these old identities and move back into that pure collective consciousness that was given to us in the womb. So yeah, it's an interesting linear story. And now, as you were mentioning, Sam, is that as you become even more aware, you can go to the beings who set the stage for your human body, and you can say, okay, I'm a fully sovereign being in this body that you helped me create, and I'm grateful for that. But now we can upgrade together. We can let go of identities together. And if you will see me for the node, the soul that I am, we can take back some of our own power, and together we can actually upgrade the base layers of the human experience. So when we were first talking about the multidimensional Bitcoiner, the rational Bitcoiner identity came in very strongly, because Bitcoiners are very rational for the most part. Most people come into the Bitcoin space by breaking their fears rationally, by going down the Bitcoin rabbit hole and learning about money, learning about the protocol, and kind of pushing back against the fiat identity by seeing it from a new place, the don't trust, verify place. And so initially, we were, Sam and I were riffing just like this, and we were talking about how can we possibly present this course to people. And at first, we were kind of discussing, you know, different models and different ways to make Bitcoiners feel more comfortable with these rather tough to verify rationally models, because what we're talking about now is something that isn't rational anymore. These are unique abilities that not a lot of people can relate to on the planet at this time. These are the inner five senses, inner sight, taste, smell, hearing. So it required a certain level of inner trust and in a certain level of knowing, rational knowing, to allow yourself to surrender to a point to be able to trust those very, very powerful and things that have been with you your entire life. You just don't notice them because they're so, so subtle. And it requires releasing, surrendering some of these identities too.
From my perspective, if we take it the same perspective again, like a sovereign free node traveling through creation and then finding this planet and thinking, huh, maybe I should go there and help them to raise the frequency. And it's the whole thing is how people connect with each other. And then not talking about the words, but it's the energy bodies, how the energy bodies connect, because this is then the geometry. So it's the geometry between the energy bodies or Merkaba. So you have each individual in a group have personal Merkaba, and then they have home Merkaba, they have family Merkaba, they have community Merkaba, and planetary Merkaba, and so on. So every individual have lots of different Merkabas, different layers of your energy body. And then it's about how these are interfacing with other Merkabas. So looking at this planet, it's like you have those interfacing where you have like a leader and then followers. This is sort of a destructive structure. It's not that community is sort of power-based. It's not sovereign people in there. And then on the other hand, when you're looking at more the freelancers, they are sort of more independent and they're not able to connect so much because they are sort of the opposite end of being a follower or being a leader. They're like independent. So maybe they see through the power structures of the hierarchies and they don't want to participate, but instead they're sort of isolated and not connecting so well with other nodes around them. So these cores is really, from blueprint level, is destabilizing this higher consciousness structure where each individual is sovereign and free and still open and resonant with others. Because if you spend time in your node and then you feel all the beings and all the people around you, you will notice that some of them are sort of pushed away with force, and some of them are pulled in with force. And so as long as the nodes around us are forced either away or towards us, it's a negative configuration between the energy bodies. So it needs to be free flowing. So resonance. So you are free flowing in your field and the other person is freely flowing. And you don't try to manipulate or pull or push each other. So when you have then several people or several souls or nodes, then you are able to create these amazing geometry structures. Looking at the blueprint level, it looks like amazing, like flowers, where these people are just finding the right space. So they're not pushing people away. They're not pulling them in. They're just resonating. And then if you have, then like in the group, you have like 9 people, everyone resonating at the exact spot where they should be, their natural position. Then amazing things happen. And not only for the group, but it's also vibrating out through the whole planet. planetary grid. And that's the kind of architecture we are looking at, that this is the kind of constellations that need to happen now for the planet to go to the next level of ascension. So this course is this. Now it's in 3D, it's presented as the multi-dimensional Bitcoiner, because it's this is our true nature. So basically, it's like a course how to connect with your true nature, because we're all multidimensional beings. And that is mentioned on the website, yeah, by location and these kind of things. And that's just like a natural byproduct of connecting with who we are, because we will remember our past lives, but they are parallel lives then. And we start operating more and more outside of linear time. Linear time is sort of one story going, but our experience of reality become more non-linear. We sort of come in and out of our linear timeline. Yeah, that's how it feels to me.
We talked a lot on this podcast in many different episodes about how everything that we experience is an external reflection or an internal reflection, right? And money is no different. So the more philosophical takes on Bitcoin, like if you've listened to, like, with our conversations with Seb Bunny, or if you listen to people like Robert Breedlove, you know, we talk a lot about how society would shift with a new money. But from an energetic perspective, the money has been manifested because of what's going on under the hood. And so what I see the multidimensional Bitcoiner being is an opportunity for some really powerful nodes to go into the monetary consciousness of the planet and upgrade themselves, to finally see themselves in the driver's seat of the monetary consciousness and learn to experience reality from a completely upgraded perspective. And so while it is, I would say, primarily about upgrading your experience, who you are. And yeah, the intention is to unlock a multidimensional experience for yourself as a human being. You're also a Bitcoiner, and the knock-on effects of you upgrading yourself in this way, I think they're going to have the implications for the monetary consciousness of the planet. I think this is kind of, because we're at a precipice here, I think, as human beings. You know, Bitcoin's becoming more and more mainstream, and it seems to me like it really has the choice of taking two different paths. It can be reabsorbed by the old paradigms, or we can choose to take that leap of faith and shift into the higher consciousness, which Bitcoin can be a part of, which Bitcoin can help us facilitate for those who are not quite as vibrationally conscious. Yeah, so I feel really excited. I feel really excited about what this can do for not just individuals, but for all Bitcoiners.
Yeah, I see these monetary networks as different levels of consciousness also. So you have like fiat. This is like really low level of money consciousness on the planet. And then gold is like one step up, and then Bitcoin another step up. So it's if you're living within the fiat system, you're more associated with the shame and guilt, like the lowest density experiences. And this is sort of one stream of evolution, the monetary evolution, which is just like a reflection of the overall consciousness levels of the planet. So it would make sense that people in higher consciousness would be drawn to Bitcoin. Not everyone has made those mental adjustments yet, but it's definitely coming. And this is the whole intent of this podcast and everything. It's that monetary systems have different levels of consciousness, and we are able to use that, to work with that. And there is another level after Bitcoin that I've been in bilocation. I've been doing a lot of research in other worlds, right? And also in earlier cultures on this planet. So you have a system that is even higher consciousness than Bitcoin. So it's sort of a ladder. Bitcoin is a ladder, but it has the decentralized features. So it is very high ladder, step on the ladder. But internally, we are already working on the next incarnation of the monetary system as well. Then inspired from how they exchange value in other worlds.
Are there any worlds or another time in human existence where this system was either perfected or close to perfected, where people were able to just freely exchange and allow value to easily flow between one another with money? Because several times in conversations on this podcast, I've gotten the feeling that if we're all truly living in flow, we wouldn't necessarily need a medium of exchange, because you would just be trading value in flow. So it wouldn't be quite so rational. But in your experience with these other worlds or earlier times in humanity, have you experienced anything maybe like a Bitcoin or a quantum financial system?
Yeah, and the difference is that with Bitcoin network, it's still this sort of hoarding mentality. The next level up is you have no fear that, because you always know it will come back to you. So then it's not a hoarding system, but it's a free flowing system. So it's in and out. And then some people sometimes feel like inspiration to sort of collect a bigger amount of something, because they have an inspiration to build something bigger. But you could say that you have a stack, And you're not never worried if it ends or not. So everyone has a stack, and that stack feels limitless. So that's the difference between the Bitcoin level and the next quantum financial system, or what you want to call it. And the sort of the theory behind this is that hoarding is based in fear that, that something bad will happen in the future. So it's a survival instinct that is still left from the fiat consciousness. And as long as we have that, we are not allowing full financial flow. Because it's connected also then that we don't want to spend too much. So like when we really flow, we're spending on exactly what we feel is right. And this goes together with the resonance I talked about. So it's like when you're in attachment, you're like pulling and pushing. You're also saving and you are stopping, limiting spending. So that's sort of, at least for now, that seems to be the Bitcoin consciousness sort of drawback from going to the next step. But I think Bitcoin consciousness has a wider range. And then so you have the upper range where people live. Like I know people in the Bitcoin space that live very, very, very quantum-like. So they are not afraid to spend, to let it flow in both directions. But you can see that it's connected with the fear and the survival patterns that the lower end Bitcoiners are still acting sort of like a fiat mindset, even though they are on Bitcoin.
Yeah, I can relate to the feeling of hoarding, because the fears which I identify with tell me that I'm living in a fiat system where I have to earn money somehow, and with that money I have to buy food and shelter and clothing, and I have a family to do the same for. And all these fears about inflation and not trusting other people, being afraid of other people, not trusting the system, being afraid of that system falling apart. Yeah, Bitcoin's kind of like a safe haven from that. Ooh, so it's like, how to make a shift from all of those fears to a more free-flowing relationship with Bitcoin. And maybe one tool could be, you know, you set aside a part of your stack, which you can reflect back and connect back with the self who purchased that Bitcoin. Maybe you purchased some several years ago that has since grown in purchasing power significantly. And you can speak with that person and you can say, you bought this as a low time preference action. And now I'm ready to make that shift. So you could just take a portion of it and you could say, I don't want to let go of my fears, right? I don't want to let go of some of these fears, but I still want to move into this other perspective. So, you know, you take a portion of your Bitcoin and you upgrade it. You choose to let it flow in and out. And then once you do this, you can use that as proof that it actually works. It's a proof of work mechanism. And over time, maybe more and more of your stack can be used for this, and you will begin to see that this is, in fact, how the universe works.
Yeah, I have an alternative to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like to not needing to shift abruptly from a mental place. But if we every day, when we have financial fears, we melt them away instead of believing them, then over time, it will just be completely natural to spend and save in flow. Because it is this small, like all these fears, it's just layers and layers and layers of financial fear. So, and this is similar to what happened to my identity when I switched the name. It's like I didn't decide, like, oh, now I have to change my name. I need to be more transparent. No, it was not like that. It was like every day I just kept melting away fears, melting away protections, defenses. And then just slowly, slowly, it just started feeling natural to be presenting my real name and real face and so on. So that's also another way to do it, to focus on melting away old programs all the time and then just living in flow. Because when we have those programs, it's sort of flow to be a hoarder. So you're actually in flow being a hoarder, but it's because of these fear programs. But the flow is also guiding you to heal and melt away your old programs. So if you just keep living in the flow, we're moving in the right direction. So always trusting this divine intelligence that is guiding us. That was what came up for me.
Money is a complex, rational topic. But you are not a rational being. You're not even a human being. Money is not something that is separate from you. Money is a part of you. It's a part of your field. Visualize the energetic field around you. Visualize the monetary fields entangled within highlight them, let them glow. Free them up, allow them to move more freely throughout your energy fields, interchange with all of the other colors, with all of the other different vibrational aspects of yourself. Let them flow in and out. Now look outside of yourself. Look outside of your energy body and see these very same fields integrated with all of the fields around you. See that they are the same. As you're moving about, see if there is a particular sense which you can resonate with the monetary frequency. Is it something you're touching? Is it something in your breath? Is it something in the smell? Is it something you can see? Something you can hear? Oh. It's so much simpler than we make it.
Yeah, I think we're coming towards the end here. Thank you very much, Caleb, for this meditation and for hanging out here to discuss.
Yeah, this has been really cool, a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, it was some interesting topics covered. So we will put a link to the course in the description. It's quite complicated URL. It's like flow-sam.com and then /MD Bitcoiner. But it will be in the description. So anything else, Caleb, you want to mention before we...
Yeah, let me check. Yeah, so the intention of our conversation at the onset, the reason that we set it up is because we wanted to talk about this course. And so if you find yourself at all interested, excited, if you have kind of an emotional spark within you, I would say ride that wave. Everybody has their own way of feeling their intuition, but understand that this is not something like a typical course, like a programming course, for instance, or you know, some other online course where you're, you know, sitting and taking notes and learning specific rational concepts. And so a higher vibrational course calls for a higher vibrational course of action. And so if you feel yourself drawn to it, I would say ride that feeling, and ride those ride the fears that come up. If you have, you know, any fears or reservations or identities that come up, and, you know, maybe at the end of the day, that's all that flow needs, but that's all that your flow needs. Maybe you won't sign up, but.
My experience, both as a creator of courses and as a participant of courses, is that with the years, this feeling, this magnetism just becomes stronger and stronger, where it just overrides basically the mental models around. Usually for me, it's that when the universe wants me to really go into a course, I will usually spend one night without sleeping and sort of just feeling like a strong like pull, like I need to go to this course. And sometimes I wake up in the morning, and then after breakfast, I sort of already forgot about it because the feeling is stronger during the night. But then to start listening to this guidance, this inner guidance. And then, but also many people say this when they sign up to my courses, that they have similar experiences. So this is sort of the guiding system that we're all learning to listen to our inner guidance so that the right people will be in the right place. It's just harmonizing in resonance with the universe.
Exactly. Yep. Everybody's got their own process. So.
All right. Have a nice day. And yeah. See you around.
Yeah. Thanks.